The Spectator is searching for the UK's brightest entrepreneurs to enter the Spectator Economic Innovator of the Year Awards, in partnership with Charles Stanley Wealth Managers. If you have a business that disrupts an existing market, a smart new way of doing things, or something that has incredible social impact, then apply by the 9th of July at spectator.co.uk/innovator.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and I'm joined now by Katie Balls and James Forsyth. Well, we've had a range of statements in the House of Commons today from Health Secretary Sajid Javid and Education Secretary Gavin Williamson on the next steps for unlocking in the country generally and also changes to bubbles in schools. James, just explain what we've learned today.
So we've learned today that if you are double vaccinated and have been so for a fortnight, from August the 16th, you will not need to self-isolate if you have been in contact with a positive case. Instead, you'll be told to go and take a PCR test, and if that is negative, you can continue with life as normal. Now, I think this announcement is interesting for two reasons. First of all, I think it is a realisation that the policy of trying to tell double vaccinated people to self-isolate for 10 days wasn't going to hold, because people would say, well, if these vaccines work, why am I having to self-isolate just on contact with a positive case? But I'm also very struck by the fact that the government is not lifting this restriction from July the 19th. They're instead lifting it from August the 16th. Now, I think we can infer from that that the government thinks that from August the 16th, cases will be going down, not up. So they view that as a safer moment. Now, I think this also has a consequence for the reopening on July the 19th, because if you're in a situation where anyone who's in contact with someone with COVID has to self-isolate, regardless of whether they've been double jabbed or not, I think that is going to put a dampener on the idea of kind of street parties to celebrate the lifting of restrictions or not, because I think there'll still be quite a few people who'll be wary about going to properly mass events and mass gatherings if the risk of a night out is 10 nights in. And so, in a way, the government, by choosing not to release this until the August the 16th, is trying to keep a measure in. I think what it shows is that although the government is going for this fairly comprehensive reopening on July the 19th, there is, because of the Delta variant, there is more concern and caution about it. For example, I would be very surprised if we don't see some pictures of cabinet ministers in that week of July the 19th, wearing masks in crowded places in an attempt to say, look, this is something that you should be prepared to do. So I think what we're seeing is a comprehensive reopening, but with the government trying to just tilt the scales towards caution in terms of people's minds and how they behave.
Katie, we've heard a lot from Sajid Javid today. He was doing a morning broadcast round. As I said, he was in the Commons. He has come out with some quite scary figures. He expects there to be around 100,000 cases a day in the summer. And he also talked about there being an additional 7 million people who may be added to NHS waiting lists. Is he being more candid than his predecessor, Matt Hancock?
I think in some ways, yes. I think that when it comes to waiting lists and the backlog, I think that we're seeing Sajid Javid be quite upfront about the problem. I think he's trying to paint a picture of the full effects of COVID, and that's not just COVID directly for those who get it and are affected by it, but the effects of lockdown in terms of what it does to services like the NHS. And I think that this is part of what he's trying to do when he's saying we should learn to live with COVID, is I think that Sajid Javid doesn't want to be seen as a stereotypical hardline lockdown skeptic. I think he is quite keen to try and suggest that this is about balancing various things, and that's why he is coming around to this position. So if you look at how the things that go up during lockdown, so for example, Sajid Javid has spoken about domestic abuse as one of those things, former Home Secretary. And I think it's that kind of experience which is trying to bring in when he talks about this fuller picture. So it is linked with the reopening in that sense. And then I think on cases, I think that is the government trying to brace people for the fact that this idea of Freedom Day is not going to be normal like pre-pandemic. And actually, as James was setting out, it's going to be pretty dysfunctional. And you did get the sense when you were hearing Boris Johnson talking. I think Sajid Javid sounds a bit more upbeat than Boris Johnson, but generally speaking, this isn't the scenario they wanted when they were going to lift all restrictions. The scenario the government wanted back when they started the vaccine rollout was to ultimately get to a situation where you had very low deaths, but you also had low cases. I think the Delta variant has really changed things, and you do get the sense that when it comes to this, a plan for 19 July, it's more out of necessity than this positive thing that they want to scream about and show off to the rest of the world, because it is actually going to be quite messy. And I think that the 100,000 cases is particularly striking, because given by that point, most people are still going to have to self-isolate if they come into contact. What does that mean for workplaces? What does that mean for the hospitality businesses? Is that going to change how businesses operate? Because I think that, and we get to see, of course, but I think that if you actually run the risk of having all your staff sent home because they've come into contact with someone, I wouldn't be surprised if some venues decide to voluntarily keep some social distancing measures in place, because on a business risk assessment, it is not worth the risk of having to close down your venue because of a COVID outbreak. And I think that that's what we're starting to see. So the announcement is almost a small print, and I think that's what that figure does.
James, Labour are sounding disappointed, which is not unusual for the opposition at the moment. But have they really got anything particularly distinctive to offer from their plan, their alternative plan for unlocking? I mean, do they even have an alternative plan for unlocking?
So Labour have been more critical of this bit of unlocking than I think they've been of anything since the tier system. And when you listen to them say that they think it's reckless to remove all the restrictions, you kind of wait to hear what they're keeping. And it doesn't seem that this emphasis on continued mask wearing on public transport is really a sufficient response if you think it is reckless to remove all restrictions. It would make more sense if you thought that this really was reckless to keep, for example, the 1 metre rule. So I think like what you're seeing Labour trying to do is do the classic opposition thing of saying, we think this is reckless, putting that marker down, but not of backing any particular the economically damaging measure, such as, for example, the 1 metre rule, that would put them on the wrong side of, say, the hospitality industry. I think on masks on public transport, I mean, there is an interesting thing here, which is I think that if a few weeks ago, I think that you would have seen cabinet ministers take a pop at Sadiq Khan if he had said, actually, on the tube in London, I want to carry on with mask wearing on. Andy Burnham, if he'd said that people on the trams in Manchester should carry on wearing it. I now think that if they do, they wouldn't come under kind of any kind of attack from the government. Indeed, I think quite a few ministers would breathe a quiet sigh of relief from under their mask if he decided to do that. And I think that, again, is indicative of, as Katie says, this is not a kind of victory over Corona Day on the 19th of July, you know, champagne corks popping, crowds dancing in Trafalgar Square kind of moment. It's going to be much more, we are lifting these restrictions because the argument that Boris Johnson made in yesterday's press conference is kind of, if not now, when? And I hope also that because schools in England break up on July the 23rd, that will put a downward pressure on the virus. All that mixing that is going on in schools right now would cease. So I think we see that, but I also think that there is, that, you know, if you, in a way, if you want to kind of view of the alternative history, if you look at how low the number of non-Delta variant cases now is, you know, I think some in government would hope that would be what the situation would be when they unlocked full stop, at which point they really would be able to say, everyone relax, it's, you know, COVID is in abeyance. It's now going to be a very different message of the pandemic's not over, we're releasing these restrictions, but be cautious.
And Katie, Gavin Williamson was in the Commons this afternoon talking about the end to school bubbles. So pupils will now not have to go home and self-isolate if a contact in their bubble tests positive. Instead, test and trace will be taking over and contacting the contacts of those pupils who've tested positive, advising them to take their own PCR tests. And if they test negative, then they can go back into school. And they'll also be subject to a regime of regular lateral flow tests as well. What do you make of this announcement? Do you think that this is something that the government has been rushed into, or is it still moving too slowly for a lot of parents who've become incredibly frustrated with, you know, hundreds of thousands of children at home who have not tested positive but merely have a contact in their bubble who has?
I mean, I think for lots of parents it's too slow because that's the experience they're in at the moment, and that's meant that pressure has grown on the government to announce something quickly. For example, the stats out today is saying it's now a record. So there's been 641,200 pupils off school in England as a result of COVID. Now 471,000 of those have been forced to self-isolate. So that's a 69% increase in a week, which I think shows you the scale of this. Now, the announcement, I think, is aimed at obviously trying to calm parents in the sense that this isn't going to go on forever. Don't worry, we're listening to you. But it's not coming into effect, really, until later this month. And therefore, this is more about what life looks like after the summer holidays. I do think that while this is going to be welcome in terms of the bubbles, the impression I get from speaking to various figures, both of their politician hat on, also the parent hat on, is that there is some scepticism that the answer to this is getting children to do more tests. I think that given that COVID doesn't affect children the way it does adults, there is a sense that if we have reached this point in vaccinations, is that really the direction it should be going in? But I think anything which means you end the current chaos is going to be broadly welcomed. I think it does lead back to this point though, which is because things are so uncertain right now, what is life going to look like in September? If we have reached a point, as James is touching on, that actually what the government thinks is by August cases will, you know, be on the reverse, then you can start to see how perhaps the system will work and will be fairly functional for pupils returning to school. If we are heading to a point where we're going past 100,000 cases a day and beyond, I think even under this system, pupils going to school is going to be very chaotic.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Katie. And thank you for listening.